boys and girls, it's that time. It's Sunday night. Time to get your fill of Blue Fox Radio.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello again, and welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to...
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, children.
Radioland. 105.5 people out there. In case you've been wondering why the heavens have been a-pouring and the thunder has been a-roaring, it's because a very great and talented soul was taken from us at the beginning of the week. Monolith founding member and drummer Brian Bale has passed away. He was just in the Blue Fox studio here 2 weeks ago for an interview talking about the 20th anniversary of Monolith and what was coming up. We were talking about the Havoc show coming up with them. We were also talking about the projects he had going on and me actually coming in and helping him produce some stuff. So the Bone wanted to replay the Monolith show from the other week, which was the three new demo songs and the interview with Brian. And I said, why? Because I still have 20 minutes of interview with him and also more Monolith. The Monolith Show is available online with all of our Blue Fox Live shows at bluefoxbilliards.com at the Blue Fox Live page, and also off of iTunes and Reverb Nation. So let's return to the basement tapes and play a few more Monolith songs for you. They were getting ready to open up for Havoc. Their old guitarist Reese Scruggs has been jet-setting across the world. So here he is talking about Havoc, Reese, and Monolith.
I mean, I can't wait. I've seen videos, but I mean, I just, every time they've played, you know, in Baltimore, I've had to work in the studio and haven't had a chance to go see them. I've been dying to, but, you know, their albums are great. They're destined to do a lot of good things. They really are. So I give real shout outs to Reese Scruggs, our buddy. Wish you was back with us. Not much we can do about that because you out on the road living the dream, bud. So keep on trucking.
Making the paper.
Brian was even telling me about the new project, Metallica cover band, Metallica.
Well, we've always played tons of Metallica songs. That's like been our staple. We cover the songs that other bands are too afraid to cover, can't cover, or don't have the skill to cover. You know, the Metallica, Sepultura, Pantera, Slayer, okay? We do stuff like that as our covers and within our genre. We don't venture out and play something like Godsmack or something like that that doesn't fit with our style, you know. So I guess you could say, you know, we're not just a cover band, but that particular Metallica thing we're doing is because we could not get booked as Monolith. We had to be a cover band, or not cover, tribute band only. So we were like, well, we're playing with a band called Pantera, which is from, you know, from Pennsylvania. So we're like, well, let's call ourselves Metallica since we're from Virginia. So a lot of people have been getting a big kick out of that. You know, it seems to be getting a pretty good, I don't know, turnaround so far. We'll see how this goes, this one show. I mean, we talked about doing it years ago, being a Metallica tribute band on the side. So this might work out. I mean, my gosh, we can play just about almost every album all the way through if we could sit down and actually do it, you know? I mean, that's how we learned how to play was, I mean, I'll admit it. I ain't trying to be all tough and I try to sound like, you know, oh, well, this particular band today that's, you know, heavier than can be. And Lars, you know, Lars is the most hated man in, I think, heavy metal. Definitely the most annoying. I don't know who would be, man, that guy. Man, but I will admit, man, Lars was a big influence on me as a kid. Favorite album was, of course, you know, between Master of Puppets and Justice for All. That's inevitable, you know. That and Justice for All is like our Bible, you know. That's pretty much what we based everything off of our band. And, you know,
speaking of their cover tune repertoire, here they are doing Cowboys from Hell from Pantera. It's Monolith, a tribute to Brian Bayless on 105.5 The Bone, Blue Fox Live, DJ Sky Highway. We'll be right back. Saturday, July 22nd, was supposed to be Monolith performing at the Blue Fox, but after the passing of Brian Baylis, it is now a celebration of life to benefit the family of Brian Baylis, Defending Kane, Animus, and Unto Thee. $5 gets you in for three bands, kicking off at 9 p.m. It's an all-age show. All money will be donated to the Baylis family in tribute to Brian Baylis. Come out for this special show, a tribute to Monolith and Brian Baylis, Saturday, July 22nd, starring Defending Kane, Animus, and Unto Thee. Blue Fox Billiards, Route 50 East Winchester, Saturday, July 22nd. In our last interview, me and Brian were talking about the Blue Fox. Brian was the first sound guy that we had when we went to this next level. And Brian has been playing exclusively with Monolith at the Blue Fox, pretty much. So we were talking about the future of the Blue Fox.
I think that they're definitely stepping their game up. I love that they finally upgraded their system even better than what it was before. It was really awesome before, but now it's like, you know, jumped to a whole nother level. Very happy that they're trying to, shouldn't say they, Conrad himself is, taking it to...
Yeah, say Conrad, because when you say they, that means I'm a part of it, and it's all Conrad, you know.
Well, you too. Yeah, okay. You, Mr. Sky High, DJ Sky High here, and Conrad are taking it to another level.
Dude, what'd I just say? Conrad is taking it to another level. Everybody else is on for the ride. You know, all the bands coming in, they're on for the ride. I'm in for the ride. It starts with him. If he makes it good enough for everybody, then we all bring it on.
I think they're doing a good job at trying to compete on a, you got your single A, double A, and triple A venues. You know, trying to be a double A venue, which is really killer. I hope they keep plugging away at it, and I hope it keeps going as good, because, I mean, we really have supported them from, you know, when we started playing there till now. We've been doing exclusively only there for, you know, Winchester area. We plan on keep on doing it that way because, I mean, they're... Yeah, so, I mean, I think that they did all right and doing right. I don't think they... Honestly, I think Conrad and Blue Fox just need to stay right where they're at and keep plugging at exactly what they're doing right now and just ride that out for a year or two and see how that goes, you know?
He already has big plans and high hopes. He's already thinking about tearing down that wall and making it all one big room for the next triple-A level Blue Fox.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's so comfortable right now. It's so working so well. I don't know. I mean, it'd be cool if he did knock that wall out. In my opinion, I think he should knock half the wall out. That way people on the other side can see. And I really think, honestly, in my opinion, I think that jukebox should be stopped during live bands. I think that's extremely annoying because you can hear it bleeding even over top of live bands on the opposite side. Yeah, it's like, I know they want to hear what their hip-hop and whatever they're having to listen to at the time on the other side. You know, that's cool and all, you know, or whatever metal band or rock band they're listening to. But it's just, you know, when there's a band playing, it's like, that's what it should be about. You know, that tonight is a venue for a live show, where that's what we're here for. Even though they're there playing pool, there's still a band playing.
The other night, I was on stage, just started playing, and this guy walks right over the jukebox and starts putting in a $5 bill. And I'm like, dude, excuse me, dude, I'm started playing right now. You're wasting your money. He goes, well, dude, play something good then. He's like, ah. So I waited until he put all of his money in there, and then I walked down and I turned the jukebox off and went on with my life.
Oh, my God. It's like, well, what's your definition of good, buddy? Because that's a very, very large, large word.
Okay, that's great.
It's like, sorry, something's wrong with it. Sorry, I must have messed something up on it. Yeah.
No, that's frustrating.
Let's go to a live track. This was from 2010. This is Monolith performing Minute of Tragedy. It's Blue Fox Live, 105.5 The Bone, DJ Sky High with you.
Hey, we're Monolith, and thanks for coming out. We're here to support our new album, 4, so if you haven't picked it up yet, come see us after the show. It's pretty badass. Thanks to our friends, This Means You, for coming up from Charlottesville. Give them a big round of applause. Woo! Go talk to Kim for some of their merch. It's good stuff, man. All right, this first song's Minute of Tragedy. Let's go!
20 years is a long time to be rocking, and back in the day, we started out pretty much together, basically, about the same time. Remember those days of futures past?
Back in the day, I'm telling you, it was a dirty word being a heavy metal band. Dirty word. I mean, like, try to get a gig in 1999 as a heavy metal band. Good luck. You know, only thing they wanted to book was punk, ska, and at that time, it was starting to become, like, rap metal, like, new metal. That's all they wanted. If you had anything to do with heavy metal, you were good luck. Back in the day when we first started, death metal vocals and that kind of growl sound was unheard of. There's only a few bands doing it, like Cannibal Corpse, Carcass. Now it's mainstream as can be, and it amazes me how many girls actually come to shows. Because, dude, it was nothing but sausage fest all the time before. Now it is like, actually, there's females in the crowd that are actually digging that kind of sound. I mean, my girlfriend back in high school hated me playing that stuff in the car. You know, it's like, gosh, you're playing Cannibal Corpse again. What is wrong with you? It's like, well, I kind of like it, you know.
Well, what do you think about music and heavy metal right now, or new metal, or, I'm confused already.
Which one? There's so many, there's new metal as an N-U with a dot above the U. That's like, that's like the hip-hop stuff, the Limp Bizkit, you know, Korn kind of sound. That was like the 2000s, the early 2000s sound. They started calling it new metal. Today, I call it new death, because that's what it is, new death metal. You have that, and then you have the stuff that's the new, I'm not sure, I guess it'd be metalcore, because metalcore back in the day used to be like on the edge of like, you know, say like Agnostic Front and stuff like that, which is really hardcore, but just a little bit more of an edge to it.
That's like my boys from up there in Maryland, Guns Out at Sundown. They come in there with these big beards now. They call themselves Beardcore.
Yeah, the Beardcore? Yeah, that's a good, yeah, you gotta have a beard to be metalcore. It's gotta be really big and thick, and that's like a requirement. Shout out to all the beard growers out there. Yeah. You're really upsetting Gillette pretty bad. But you got that. And so it's the amount of metal bands today are so many that it's almost impossible to stick out now. Back in the day when we first started, and even when we started getting up there in the professional level, you know, years after becoming out of our teens and getting in our early 20s. We toured all over the East Coast, and it's like, you know, we had the hardest time not only getting gigs, but it was easy for us to stand out because we were always the only metal band playing shows. It was always with other, like, a rock band or cover bands or ska bands or, you know, punk or something else. We were the only, and on top of that, we were always the only long-haired metal guys that played. It was very easy for us to stick out, and it helped us a lot in our early years, but now it's like we're just part of a billion cookie cutters out there, you know, and it's like, you know, when you got these cookie cutter bands, how do you stand out with cookie cutters, you know? And they're always together for like 5 minutes, you know.
And it is really sad. It's amazing how many bands you can get for free to open up for these cookie cutter bands.
Well, I don't know about playing for free. We're always the nice guys that pays everyone to open up for us. You know, unfortunately, we never got paid to open up for bands, but we're always the nice guys that pay to opening bands, you know, because it just, we feel it's needed, especially if you do your work and do your promotion, you know. It's very important that you do that. And a lot of bands don't want to pay their dues these days. They just want it all handed to them. You know, a lot of that has to do with the internet generation, whole Facebook. Yeah, entitlement. I mean, think about this. Before Facebook and internet, try to promote for a show. Oh, my God, you got to stand outside of the mall and hand out flyers and look like an idiot. And I'm talking about paper flyers out there, people. Nothing digital here.
Hit the streets.
Street promoting. Me too, because we could never get anybody to do it back then either, you know. So I mean, like, unless you really wanted to work your butt off to get out there and show that your band was something. Honestly, what helped our band gain our massive following that we have, I mean, we're not a huge band, but we're not like a nothing band at the same time. I like the status of cult band. We're like a cult following band, and our fans that out there are very supportive of us, and you know, we try to keep communication with all of them as much as possible.
Well, let's go back in the day and listen to how Monolith started out. One of their first songs on their first album was Belligerent Obsession. Have a nice day. We'll be right back. So go through your whole internet thing, you know, where you're at, where we can find you, and all that good stuff.
It's Reverb Nation / Monolith Band, and also it's on Facebook.com/Monolith Band. You can follow us on Twitter.com/Monolith Virginia. Yeah, we pretty much stopped running our own website because there's not much point anymore these days. You know, I mean, no one ever goes to websites that much. I mean,
and of course, my website has a couple things on there.
Yeah, you go DJ, what is it, DJ Sky High or skyhigh.net?
DJSkyHigh.com.
I thought you were .net.
I was SkyHighNet, and then that guy from the Middle East stole my website domain.
That's what it was, yeah, SkyHighNet. Well, speaking of which, you know, I used to run both of ours, a nice bot, you know what those are, that run through the internet when you don't pay your payment, and for even as soon as it comes up in that split second, they buy it up, and then you instantly got to buy your domain name back for $15,000. The Icon Records site, I owned iconrecords.com from 1997 was when I first purchased it. Missed the payment less than a day later, and they really want to. $15,000 for that, buy that domain site back name. And you know why? Because of the amount of traffic it had during that time. And that's only because the internet was becoming really big at that moment. So they're going by those statistics. It's like,
yeah, same reason. I was getting like 2 million hits a month.
Exactly. So, yeah, and it's like, and that was back before search engines. It cost money to list up on high. And, you know, back when actually it was legit. Now it's like, you know, it's totally. And we wanted to go back to getting, you know, our original site we used to have for Monolith. It was monolithrocks.com. May have it here by the time this interview comes up. I don't know. But I mean, it's just, it's almost like an extra cost that's not needed when people just go to Facebook anymore. That's all they ever do. Although MySpace is still huge in Europe and Australia.
I wish I could remember my password to get back in that thing.
I can't even remember mine either, dude. It's too long since I've been on that site. Luckily, Twitter updates like all the stuff on there automatically, so it's like, I don't even have to go there, so you can like link them together. Yeah, MySpace is definitely still doing it, man.
On the last interview, I asked about the new album. The EP release party was 3 songs, and here's Brian talking about the future release of the new album that looks like it's going to be on hold.
Well, we're in the midst of writing it right now. We're hoping to get it out at the end of the year. It may spill into next year. You know, we're not going to... The last 2 records, including the EP, the reason the EP is called Deadline is because we had set a deadline for it, and it went right to the deadline to get it ready. I mean, the mix and everything mastered was done, like, just a few days before it was even pressed. I mean, it was, like, right down to the wire. So we said, on this one, we're not going to give ourselves a deadline. I mean, we can turn 20 years old on New Year's and still have it out sometime at the beginning of next year. It may take till summer of next year. We don't know yet. But it's definitely... We're going to try to write our best album we've ever done. We try to do that with every record, but I mean, this one, we've got a specific goal. It's like, we got to feel like we got to live up to the expectations of the fans, and we definitely don't want to let anybody down. You know, our fan base is very close to us and very important, and I don't want to, you know, we want to make sure they're happy. But at the same time, though, we've always stuck to our guns and made sure the 4 of us are happy, and that's the most important thing, you know, is that we're happy with it. Yeah, I'll be doing a Red Velvet recording, hopefully, if everything goes smooth. Still be cranking them out there. We're going to try to do some writing actually in my studio this time. Instead of, we always wrote outside the studio, then come in and record like most bands do. But I think we're going to start writing more in the studio for this record, just to do something different. Every album we try to write it differently, you know. So that way, you know, because I mean, when you listen to something, most of our stuff comes from jam sessions. We jam a lot when we get together and write stuff. It just happens to spill out of us. And we'll say, hey, that riff's great. Let's use this, and this, and make a song out of it, you know. Some songs take 2 years. Some of our best songs we wrote in 3 minutes. You know, it just depends on what happens and what the mood is. But where you actually rehearse, atmosphere, the mood, everything has to do with how you write. Like, my brother's a riff machine. He always has been. Tim Hartz is a riff machine. Always has been. And, you know, Kyle Lutcher, our new guy, he is too. So, you know, and I write riffs too on guitar. So, I mean, we got plenty of riffs coming in, and parts of songs are just making them
cool. Riffmeister.
The Riffmeisters. Makes them come out, you know? That's the main thing. And like I said, it's about making us happy before anyone else, but at the same time, we're not going to be changing to anything different than what we are. We've been this for this long. There's no point in changing now, you know? I mean, we really couldn't. It's just, this is what you get, is what we sound like at that time.
my friend, my colleague, my competition, my fellow traveler in music and life, there are a lot of people that will miss you. Please don't forget Saturday, June 22nd, a celebration of life to benefit the family of Brian Bayless. It'll be Defending Kane, Animus, and Unto Thee. $5 gets you in and all proceeds go to the Bayless family. We'll see you next week for another Blue Fox Live. BlueFoxBilliards.com for what's happening. Peace.